Hey, friend. Welcome to Houston Made, a show where I, Rusty Gates, get to talk with local Houston-based entrepreneurs and business owners about what it's like to be in the middle of that journey and selfishly gain insights as I build my own business. In this episode, I got to sit down with my friend James Samaniego, the owner, operator, and sole tattoo artist of Shelter Tattoo right here in Houston. I knew James and I had a few connections through social media, but it wasn't until after our conversation that I realized how many people in my world he's actually done work for. In fact, immediately after this recording, I went to a little get-together where I found out the host had just gotten a piece done by him. All that to say, James is a prolific tattoo artist who's been tattooing in the area for about 10 years, and he does amazing work. He was super generous to give me time for this conversation, and I really enjoyed it. Before we get into it, I just want to say thank you all for listening and supporting the show. I say I'm selfishly gaining insights because I feel like I'm gaining so much in every conversation, and it's people like you listening and sharing the show that makes it possible. So thank you. Now listen in as James and I discuss why he chose to be a one-man shop, what drives him both in his art and his business, and the value of getting a ton of tattoos early in his career.
Well, James Samaniego, it's
yes,
nice
sir.
To meet you.
You too.
Thank you so much for agreeing to do this. I have been following you online for just a little bit. Found you, I think, through Instagram, for sure through Instagram. I think maybe through one of our mutual friends,
Philip Gilmer.
We are here in your shop, Shelter Tattoo.
Yep.
Why don't you tell me a little bit about what you do, your role here, all of this?
I'm pretty much a one-man show. So I'm the janitor, I'm the receptionist, I'm the tattoo artist, I'm the payroll manager, I'm everything. But I've had this shop now for a little over 3 years, and I just re-signed the lease. So I'll be here for another 3 years, hopefully, if everything goes well. But that's pretty much it here. Everything that needs to be done, I do it. So
CEO.
Everything.
Owner. All of that. Down to janitor, you
everything.
Do everything.
Yep.
Okay. I have mad respect for that. That's a little bit how my real estate business is. I've tried to find ways that I can leverage other people, but ultimately in the end of the day, it's
when me. It comes down to you, I'd rather blame myself than someone else. That way I know it's done how I would like it to be done.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, and whenever I got into real estate, I had left a corporate job in where it didn't matter how much I worked, how good I was, how bad I was. My salary was going to stay the same.
Oh, for sure. Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
And so I really wanted to do something where my paycheck was based on my effort and my skill and my ability to succeed. You know,
yeah, you get out what you put in. And that's why I tell people, if you want to work a little bit and have fun and party, cool. But don't expect to, you know, have a nice life after that, you know.
Yeah.
But
so 3 years here.
Mm-hmm.
And then before this, you were at 713, right?
Yeah, I was there the longest. So I was probably there for 6 or 7 years. Before then, I worked in Katy for a year and then like Jersey Village area for like 2 or 3 years. So it's been close to 15 years in total.
That's awesome. And so now you're here. Mm-hmm. You have your own shop. After all of those experiences in those different places, what led you to opening this space?
I kind of always wanted to do it, but, after getting married and seeing how much time I spent at work, I really wanted to do that so I could kind of make my own schedule.
Yeah.
Where I still can work late hours and come in whenever I need to, but I can kind of have a set schedule. 'Cause typically, at least my career as a tattooer, the shop's open from noon until like 2 a.m. So if you're working late hours, you miss out on birthdays, you miss out on vacation, everything. So, and most people are off of work on the weekends. And so trying to, you know, do anything like that is super hard. So now I try to have a 11-to-7 schedule for the most part. And then if I book a little bit ahead, I can take off for family stuff or whatever if I need to. But
yeah,
mostly just being with family. That was a big motivator for that.
That seems like a part of the maybe misconception. I'm sure that what you do gets glamorized.
Oh, for sure.
A lot.
Yeah, yeah.
People think, oh man, you're a tattoo artist. And they've seen
exactly.
There's enough reality TV shows now that
oh yeah, it's everywhere.
Make it look the same. But that's so that's one of those things.
Yep.
Hard hours typically if you're not in your own space.
Yeah, exactly.
What what else is like an unexpected thing that people might not think of when they're thinking of, oh yeah, you get to do this all day?
I mean, the health thing is a big thing too. I mean, now like the first few years, it didn't really matter. I could tattoo hours on end, crazy positions, whatever. But now your neck starts hurting, your back starts hurting, your, you know, joints, your knee from leaning over, your hands. That's one big thing that they don't put that on Miami Ink. They don't put that on that stuff, man. That's just over time, your stuff starts hurting. So, you know, maintenance, chiropractor, getting massages, stretching, drinking water, as silly as it is, like little stuff that you never would do. Like a tattooer's diet would be like soda and fast food. That's pretty much it. Grab and go, you know.
Yeah.
But you can't do that for a super long time.
Yeah. The idea of taking care of yourself, I think, yeah, you just get to be a little bit older and all of a sudden.
After you turn 30, man, that's what I tell you. We're not old, but I mean, after you turn 30, stuff starts popping and it's sore when you get up. So it's,
same.
It's totally different.
Right? I woke up at 1 a.m. the other night and was on Google reading how long our mattress lasts. We bought like a Tufted needle mattress. Yeah. And I was like, are we expired? Like, should we be buying a new mattress?
Yeah,
at
1
a.m. I'm on my side on my phone looking at it because I'm like, my back hurts. And I think
it's got to be something. Yeah, man. Yeah.
And to go do some yoga. You mentioned you're doing everything. You've got mm-hmm. all of those different roles. Obviously, people look at you and they see those shop and they know tattoo artist.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel comfortable with those titles of business owner, entrepreneur? How much of that do you kind of consider yourself
it? I've always been doing it. Almost 20 years ago now, I had a clothing company years ago with skateboarding stuff. So I've always done business kind of things. And that's kind of why it was nice to be a tattooer years ago when I first started, because it was kind of be your own boss. You did work for someone, but for the most part, you can kind of do what you want. So I don't think of myself as that. I probably think of myself as a tattooer first, but I mean, that comes with it. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah.
And are you consuming like content around that idea? We mentioned Gary Vee mm-hmm. earlier. Like, are you in that world and headspace?
I listen to Gary Vee. I got all his books, Jab, Jab, Right Hook. I got all this stuff. And so, I mean, he's a great person. I mean, even years ago when he was talking about Facebook and, you know, Instagram, I guess it depends on what you're looking to get out of it. He's good at marketing and doing that kind of stuff. But I mean, I read anything from conspiracy to government to, marketing, advertising. But it depends on, I guess, the financial side or, you know, social media has played a huge role in the last few years. But I mean, you can ask my wife. I'm always either on my phone or looking on YouTube and watching seminars, and I always try to learn stuff, man. Especially if it's business and something I can take out of it positive, then I'll enjoy it for sure.
Constantly learning.
Always, yeah.
That's really
when cool. You stop learning, you need to stop working. Like, you, even with tattooing, I mean, when you get comfortable or don't progress in whatever you're doing, you should do something else. Because then the love and it's not there if you're not. I'm still every day like how I was in the beginning, where I'm excited to come to work and look forward to it, but it's not for everybody. Some people get burnt out.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you're burnt out, then you're in the wrong business, you know, I think.
I love that. I agree. I think passion is everything. And I think that one of the criteria that I have when I am considering who to talk to even on this show mm-hmm. is passion of, can I tell through either my knowledge of them, mm-hmm. my interactions with them, or just seeing them online
see
how do they feel about it? Mm-hmm. I just recently had a request for someone to be on the show. It was like through a podcasting agency, whatever. Mm, they were like, hey, mm-hmm. you have this guy on your show?
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, no. He's just a guy who runs this company, but he cares about, it seemed to me that he cared about the money, which is not wrong. We have mm-hmm. to make money.
Yeah, for sure.
I was talking to Tony Lerman in the last couple episodes, mm-hmm. who's a chef, and he said, like, this thing has to make money,
so
I can keep doing it. But he also loves cooking. And this guy was selling something. And I was just like, I don't think you care about your product. I think you just care about getting a paycheck. And this is a part of that, which is fine.
Yeah.
Respect there. But again, I think I can appreciate the passion that you have for what you do here and how much that bleeds into the space that you've created, the work that you do, mm-hmm. all of that.
And a lot of that stuff is not genuine, too. It's like, it's almost disingenuous or whatever, because a lot of people now try to leverage you for something. Like, your format is a podcast or whatever, so they try to get on yours and then progress whatever they're doing. Or even simple with me, like Instagram, I don't have a huge following, but a decent amount, so sometimes I would see people try to reach out or want me to post something for them, and it doesn't seem real that way, you know.
Yeah.
I would rather have zero followers and just do what I want to do for why I want to do it, rather than try to sell out and do whatever. Now it's different if it's business, like you said. You have to make money and pay for the stuff, but there's a limit on keeping it real and just selling out to, you know, make money.
Yeah, totally. Well, and I think that integrity goes along with that.
For sure.
Passion and integrity, because as I've, again, with this show, I've had one sponsor who I genuinely believe in. I've worked with her personally, and I said, like, yes, I'm happy to promote you to my listeners. And I also think that it makes good sense. We're mostly talking to people who are entrepreneurially minded folks. So it made sense. But I've had other kind of conversations along those lines where I was like, I just don't understand why I should promote your business on here. And that's okay. And there, I've got other people in the works that I really want to sponsor the show because I think they can provide value to my listeners. But I think, again, protecting what you've built, protecting your brand, protecting your legacy, especially when it's a one, guy shop, like you are, it's everything. You are the brand, and your brand is so much of how people find you and come to you. And I'm sure tattooing, much like real estate, is very referral based. You know, your work is a walking advertisement.
They're walking around with that stuff all the time, and people can come up to them and say something, or they don't. So it's always cool to hear people that say, "Hey, someone stopped me and said it looked cool." Because I mean, they could easily just not say anything, you know.
Yeah.
So it means something that a stranger would come up and compliment you.
Yeah,
you
know? I have maybe 5 or 6 pieces, and I forget, this happened just a couple of weeks ago, and somebody's like, "Oh yeah, I wanted to ask about your tattoo, but I didn't know if you want to talk about it." And I was like, "No, I got it. Like, I always want to talk about it."
Yeah, for sure.
I just, in my opinion, and this, you can correct me on this, it seems to me anybody who gets a tattoo wants to talk about it. Like, that's the whole
Some
point.
Some stuff is personal, but you get it for a reason. So it's like, if you can talk about it, cool. I don't know. If you didn't like something, you probably wouldn't put it on your body forever, I would think.
But yeah. I just don't think I've ever had a conversation of saying like, that's a cool tattoo. What's that about? And you're like, I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah. Unless it's like a boyfriend, girlfriend name or something. You know.
Touche. Good point.
Who knows?
You mentioned back in the day before the tattooing, you had a t-shirt business. Mm-hmm. Seems like, again, some of that entrepreneurial hustle has been around for a long time. Where did that start for you?
I don't know. Both my parents, they worked their whole lives, of course. So, I mean, they weren't entrepreneurs, but I just always thought of the idea of doing your own thing was cool. I've always liked art or, you know, different kind of stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I've worked everywhere. I worked at Kroger. I worked at an office. I worked, and I didn't like any of those places. So taking from that and saying, hey, you know, I tried it. I don't like it. So it's just doing your own thing, the creative, not only creative, just the freedom to be able to do what you want. That's really what I like, for sure.
Yeah. And so where did tattooing begin for you? Were you kind of into visual arts before?
Yeah, I've always been drawing, painting. I went to school for graphic design. But then when I started tattooing, I stopped going to school and just did that full time. I was working. I worked at like Vans or something to get some money and then go to the tattoo shop at night. Yeah, I've always been painting or drawing, or I did photography when I was younger. Some kind of art.
Yeah.
Before, yeah.
Does it feel like a sense of expressing yourself or working things out, or do you just like creating things? What's the kind of creative drive behind all that?
Both. Just in the sense of tattooing, I do get creative freedom, but it's also what the client wants. In the end, that's what matters. It doesn't matter what I think, what I care, what I like, as long as they're happy. Then, you know, that's a good outcome. But whether it's photography, painting, that's just kind of a expression, freedom. A lot of it when I was younger was just replicating, like drawing a portrait or seeing if I could do it exactly like whatever it was. That was a fun challenge. And that's kind of part of it too, is a challenge, whether it's replicating something or just try to do something that I'm happy with, or, you know, combining different ideas and making a new piece or something. You know, that's something. Because there's many people who, whether it's watercolor, oil, they do the same thing, landscape or whatever it is, over and over and over. And to me, that would be boring to do the same thing. Or maybe with you know, like selling stuff. Like if you just did commercial property and that's it. I know they're all different, but it's more or less the same thing. You're dealing with the same kind of people and it might get old, you know?
Oh, for sure. Well, that's why I'm here.
Right?
This is literally why I'm sitting here. I love real estate. I love that I can help people in that way. And it's good money and there's flexibility. The biggest, probably the biggest benefit of real estate has been the ability to be around for the first few years of my son's lives and just be home all the time. Yeah. That means the world to me. My dad wasn't really in my life. Mm-hmm. And so to be able to be with my boys every morning and get them to school myself, and then just if they have a thing or if I want to hang out or if,
like, you want to go,
hey, we're going to Lego store, let's go. Yeah. I can just do that. That is so much of what drew me to being my own boss, being an entrepreneur, starting my own business.
Yeah.
So you talk about the tattoos and the creative freedom, but ultimately it's what the customer wants.
Yeah.
And I get that. You just made a YouTube video not too long ago talking about what makes a great tattoo. Mm-hmm. And you kind of outline what people should look for when they're considering artists and all that.
Mm-hmm.
What, beyond that, what determines whether or not you're particularly proud of a piece that you've done? Because you do great work. I think that I can say that. I think anybody look at your stuff, say really great work. But when are you looking at a piece you've done and you say, man, like, okay, I'm really proud of that one?
And it varies. I mean, on the whatever it is, but as long as it's silly to say, but as long as it comes out good, what that means is, like, if it's lettering, that all the letters are consistent, you know, the shading is right on it. If it's a color piece, like, the shading is solid, the lines are good. There's not, I mean, it's kind of hard to put into words, really, because the part with tattooing an art is it's subjective. I could love something and you could hate it, and we're looking at the exact same thing. But to me, as long as I, you know, replicate what I had in mind, and also the person's happy with it. Like, technically, I've seen tattoos that aren't great, but the person loves it because of what it represents or their experience. And so that's more so my feeling. As long as they're happy, then that makes me feel happy and proud of it too, you know. Because some of the stuff, I might not like it, whether it is lettering or little images, it means nothing to me, but to know that they're happy, that means a lot, to, you know, that they're proud of it and happy of it with it, for sure.
Yeah. Do you maintain kind of a creative integrity to say, I'm not doing it? I mean, obviously, the way here is everybody's coming to you to get work done by you because you're booked out all these months in advance. But so you're kind of working through to say, here's what you want, here's how I see it, and ultimately, we have to kind of agree.
Yeah, luckily now with social media, it's a lot easier because whether it is Instagram or whatever, they can see what I do. So they know, okay, this is his more or less his style. But if it's something I don't do, I'll just refer them to someone else.
Yeah.
Because there's many people who will do the work because they need the money or whatever. And I've done that when I first started out. You kind of do whatever because you don't know what you're good at. You don't know what you like. So there was pieces that I did that I wasn't super happy with. They came out fine, but just as a style or whatever, I wasn't really attracted to it. So now if people email me color realism or like new school tattoos, or there's some stuff that or watercolor style. If I can't do it, then I can just refer them to someone else.
Yeah.
Not that I don't want to do it. I appreciate them reaching out, but I know they could get a better outcome. And the person doing it would be happier rather than me like, oh no, I got to do this on next Wednesday. I'm not looking forward to this, you know?
Yeah.
Just that way we're both in good hands. You know what I mean with that?
Go back to scheduling and you talk about booking people.
Mm-hmm.
I know you've got this process of booking people kind of at a quarter at a time.
Yeah.
So you open. So explain what the process is. Like,
before,
how that works.
I would just accept emails any day, anytime, which is cool. And it worked out a little bit. But then it got to the point where I was booking like 6 or 7 months out, which is good for business. But then, like we talked about earlier, if someone's had a birthday or a family function or whatever it was, I can't go because I already have this set up months and months out. So now I only book 4 times a year. And each time I book for the next 3 months. So this next one coming up is July. It'll book for August, September, and October. So then, you know, if someone emails me in August or September, I just tell them, hey, the next one's, you know, October or whatever. That way it spaces it out a little bit for me and it's not too overwhelming. Because even on the last one, I got like over 400 emails and I only have 90 days to work with. So I, you know, I appreciate it, but there's just no way I could do it. And also for like sanity, it's like I could be here every day and 14 hours a day, but that's just not good for me.
Yeah.
Overall, you know,
yeah.
Too much work.
Well, and it that would ultimately negatively impact your work, and that's the whole thing.
And that's
thing.
Just work, not life outside of work, family or my hobbies or whatever I want to do. Like, I have life outside of here that I would like to have time to do too, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And then if people no show or something comes up, they change their mind or whatever, you just take the break, or do you like waitlist? It
happens. I do have a waitlist and cancellation list. But if someone just doesn't show up, then I just have to eat that. Because by the time I go through the list, try to call someone in that time frame, it's not going to, you know, because I usually book either like little chunks of time, an hour here, 2 hours or wherever. So yeah, I'll just take that. But then if they try to reach out again, I probably won't schedule them. I mean, I have a cancellation fee. You can pay that, but it's just one of those things. To me, it's inconsiderate because, I mean, one, I don't make money, but two, those people that have been waiting, they don't get a chance to get in because you either forgot or didn't show up or whatever. And like, and I know everyone, you know, stuff comes up, but since it's booked so far out, it doesn't seem hard to put that in your calendar and yeah. know like, hey, I got this. And so I don't know. I think it's rude when people do that, but
yeah,
you know, it happens.
And my wife like is very much one of those people who lives her world in kind of right and wrong and doesn't understand why people don't live their life according to this code.
Yeah.
And I just like have to explain to her, like not everybody has the same values. Maybe they weren't raised the right way to understand that like respect is shown in those ways. And you know, that is what it is. We just, we do the best that we can.
And it's different for everyone. I mean, many tattooers have different policies. Sometimes you have to pay them a certain amount to even consider be booked again, or there's a high fee. Like my deposit's only $50 and that goes towards the price of the tattoos. I don't do anything extraordinary because it's going to be applied to the tattoo anyways. So that technically covers it, but my minimum on tattoos is $200. So I still would lose out a little bit when it comes to that. But yeah, it's just a respect thing. Like if you don't respect the time that we set aside, then I, you know, it's like a fear of it happening again. I don't know if I can trust you now, yeah. You know? So,
yeah. You once said in an interview that, if you'd go back and do things differently, it would have been to hire somebody with all of that administrative work. Is that on the horizon? Do you want to do that one day? Or are you just like, no, I'm good for now.
Yeah, I might. The thing is, that's why I made this new booking system to alleviate that, because before it was emails coming in every day. Sometimes it'd be 5, sometimes it'd be 10 or 15. So if I was caught up with work and I didn't get to my emails for a few days, it could pile up to 50, 100 and it would just get going and going. So now I only book, you know, quarterly, and for each cycle, the emails are only open for a week. So anything after that, sorry, I don't, you know, you have to try on the next one.
Is it first come, first serve?
Exactly. Like tomorrow when they open up, I'm just going to go down the list. And as long as it's something I can do, like again, if it's a new school or something else, I'll refer them out. But yeah, I go down the list. Once these 3 months are filled, then those people will be put on the cancellation list. And it just goes from there.
Based on the boards on the wall and then some of your old social media videos shot by our friend Jeff Gilmer, it seems like skateboarding has been a big part of your life for a long time.
Yep.
How much has that impacted your journey and where you are today?
It's always an impact and part of the life, just because I've done it for so long. I made a lot of friends and it's just part of who I am now. But it's hard to say, because not honestly, most skateboarders are not like business people. They're not, you know, they're just super on their own time, do what they want to do, which is kind of like entrepreneurship. But it's kind of, I don't know. Luckily I fell into it, and it's just luckily growing into it with the people that I did. Some of them turned pro, but then even like Jeff, he branched out and now he does his own business thing. So it's kind of cool to see the growth of different people in that. But it's definitely helped, like I guess a mindset of being free and creative, because that's definitely in skateboarding. I mean, now the kids are just insane, but you have to have a little different kind of flair to what you're doing to stand out, you know?
Yeah, that's really cool. I read somewhere that you named the shop after a Ray LaMonte song.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Shelter.
Mm-hmm.
What drew you to the song? How did that connect?
I mean, it reminds me of my wife. That's probably the most important thing, but the words in it are good. It's like, you know, saying that you'll shelter them, you know, but, and it can play double. Like even the logo is like hands on a heart. So yes, that's part of it, but also considering it to sheltering from bad work or keeping, you know, because I try to make people feel like family whenever they're here, or that I would care enough, like aftercare. I'll give you the aftercare. I'll tell you what you need or whatever. I try to go the extra mile with snacks, drinks, safety stuff, to have a good experience. So I want them to feel like it's a safe place. They can come, know they're going to get a good work, but also be safe and somewhat sheltered in that, you know what I mean? But yeah, it's mostly from my wife and reminding me of her from that song.
That's awesome, man. Back to the Gary V stuff. Mm-hmm. About a year ago, you started doing weekly recap videos mm-hmm. of the work you'd done in the shop, posting those to YouTube. Tell me about what led you to kind of start making videos and showing stuff like that.
It was a bad choice because I started that last year. And so in 2020, I was like, you know what? I'm going to do a weekly. So I got in for like a month or two. And then once COVID hit, like there was nothing left. So there was a big gap. So now I'm kind of playing catch up on the previous uploads and stuff. But I think it's a good format to upload stuff. Like that one video you mentioned earlier, I have that one. And I have like four or five ideas. It's just finding the time to sit down, to film it, to record it, to do, you know, the audio. But the motivation behind it is just information. I want to help people, whether it's me or not, they get the idea and information of what to look for, you know, because with social media now, it's hard, man. Yeah. People put out an image or they tell you this information. And if you're 18, 19 years old and don't know any better, you'll just take their word on it. And that's a lot of it's like a gimmick just to get you in the door and take your money.
What's a, for example, like with some of those gimmicks that people should look out for?
Like a tap out session or a tap out tattoo where there's one rate, 400, 500, whatever, and they'll tattoo you as long as you can until you tap out. So if you compare that to any other field of work, you wouldn't go to your previous job and work your 8-hour shift for a certain amount. Cause then what if they want to work you 12 hours? Like that yeah. never sound in any field. And then the thing is, if I were to do it, I mean, I would probably be super tired after that. And yeah. so it's just, I don't know. The thing is, it's for people who need money. Any reputable place won't offer deals like that. You can compare it to a car dealership, a luxury clothing store, jewelry store. They never offered crazy deals, yeah. you know?
You're not even getting 6-for-1 yeah. t-shirts at Nordstrom.
Exactly. You're never going to get, and that's just with, in general, any deals. You don't see like, I think it's Lamborghini. One of them doesn't even advertise on TV or anywhere, you know, they yeah. don't have to. Or Louis Vuitton, like these luxury brands, you never see a buy one, get one, or you don't see a Memorial Day, or when people offer them, they need yeah. that business. So that stuff is just kind of, to me, it's a gimmick because you're not going to get the best outcome. Probably with those tap outs, you know, 5 hours into it, they might be pressing harder. They might be going, you know, yeah. to make it hurt.
Yeah,
so you
chewing
stop,
you up.
You know? Exactly. For both parties, it wouldn't be a good outcome, you know?
Yeah. Well, and I'd have to question, okay, if that's your reason for getting a tattoo, and obviously I imagine someone going into, let's get in as many hours as I can for this
for
rate.
Sure. Yeah,
you're
yeah.
trying to get a deal. You're probably getting a big piece, mm-hmm. but it's like, well, if you're going to get that big of a piece, why are you in such a rush to cheat it and make it cheap? Like when it's like, well, maybe just save up a little bit and get like,
it's being young, man. And when the thing is, I remember being 18 or 19 and not having any money. I had like a few hundred bucks. And so me not knowing better, I probably would have done that because I wanted as much as I could get whenever I could get it. And so that a lot of those you have to go through and get a bad tattoo or go get one of those things and have a bad outcome to realize, hey, maybe I should wait, do my research. Because if you just get good ones your whole life, or then you're not going to know a bad one.
Yeah.
Or vice versa. You might like the bad ones and get a bunch of them and not know what is a good one. You know,
yeah.
you're so used to paying the $20, $30. So you got to be careful with that.
Yeah. It's I think it's kind of commonplace in the tattoo industry. More mm-hmm. artists than not are usually pretty tatted up.
Oh, for sure.
Right. Do you wish that you had kept more real estate on your body for later pieces? Or are you kind of like...
Yeah, I have some, but to me, I learned a lot more from getting tattooed. Mm. I mean, I worked in a shop and it was a fine shop, but I didn't have a proper apprenticeship. Usually that'd be like 2 years of learning, training, whatever, and then you get into it. So the shop I was at, I got in, but it was a good shop. It's just I learned a lot more from going and to conventions or when I got tattooed, hey, what ink are they using? What machines? What? And I would just ask questions and learn. And that definitely, because again, this is 10 or plus years ago. Internet was around, but it wasn't like Instagram. And
yeah.
you can see stuff now that you can see everything they're using. You know, they'll zoom in, they'll show you everything. It's crazy. But I say that to say that's why I got a bunch of tattoos. It's because learning and,
yeah.
you know, building those connections and stuff, because now you don't have to. You can see stuff all over or buy videos and you can have a lot of information and not need to go through getting that stuff. Plus, I love it. So, I mean, I, you know, why wouldn't I get tattooed? But
Yeah. I'm sure that you mentioned the convention thing.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like even just mentioning that and then talking about finding out what ink they're using and all of that,
mm-hmm.
it occurs to me that there's this whole world of gear
mm-hmm.
and technical stuff that would impact the way that your art turns out and your work
sure.
turns out.
Mm-hmm.
How long did it take you to find like your kit when it comes to your machine, your ink, your all
that? I'm still buying stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. The thing is, it's, of course, when it gets more popular, you're going to have people come in the industry selling stuff, whether it's aftercare or whether it's inks or whatever. I mean, there's people now that have like mobile supply trucks that'll come by every week and, hey, you need needles, you need whatever. And so you have to be careful. I mean, again, speaking on like going through it and getting best up, like I had to use different machines and have to try, hey, this, when I saw that person again, hey, that orange didn't look that great, you know, when it healed, or that needle cut the skin when I tattooed it. Let's not use those, you know? So it's, to me, I'm always learning and always trying new stuff. Now the big thing is rotary machines. So they're not like the old school tattoo machines that have the coils and the loud noise. It's like a little pin and it has a battery pack. And that's it's a cool little thing. I haven't totally switched to them, but it's a lot lighter. So your hand, you know, it's good for your hand and it's super consistent. So sometimes the power can fluctuate when you're tattooing, whether it's like a constant buzz and then it gets a little kick of power. And so if you're doing a line that that's what you don't want, you know. So those machines are cool, but I mean, honestly, it's just trial and error. You have to try stuff and see what works. You can definitely, you know, I could ask you or a fellow artist, but depending on their hand speed, their hand pressure, I mean, there's so many factors that I could get a kit from Amazon and probably tattoo decently, and someone could have the high dollar kit and not know what they're doing, you know. So
yeah,
it all depends.
Yeah, that'd be a good reality show.
Yeah,
if you want to create some YouTube videos, we'll take a whack at it. I'll film it
and yeah
maybe even volunteer. I had this thought I have this thought pretty regularly, which is to say, you know, you can do anything in this world. And I don't necessarily mean like I can do anything.
Yeah, yeah.
Listen,
yeah.
I'm not playing in the NFL. I'm not going to be president.
There's some things we can do.
Yeah. There are things that I cannot do.
Yeah.
But that the idea that there are these infinite number of possibilities of paths that you could follow to say, right, yeah, okay, I've done a lot of different things in my life and now I'm doing podcasting mm-hmm. and whatever. And you're doing you were selling shirts and now you own this shop and run all of this. But to just think there's a world that you just introduced me to, which is like mobile tattoo supply equipment, like that people are driving around.
But imagine, I mean, that's with any industry. You
yeah.
have barber. I'm sure you have barbers that do that. So they sell you clippers. They sell you oil, whatever, or mechanics. I saw one like a Snap-on, whatever. So I'm sure they roll up with this big old truck. Hey, you need a screwdriver. Hey, you need this wrench. So every industry has something like that. And so I think it's fascinating to me to see, not that I would do any of that, but like food trucks, that wasn't really a thought
yeah.
5 or 10 years ago. Now it's everywhere. So it's just with the, I don't know if it's because of Amazon and these things that are so in your face quick right there. It's like you kind of have to adapt. And
yeah.
that's cool to see the market changing in different fields of ordering stuff. Cause even, I mean, they were talking about Amazon like one day to like super quick. Now it's like no one wants to wait for anything.
Yeah.
So tattooing, I could order my supplies from California, wherever, but it's going to take a week.
Yeah.
If this guy hops in a car and has a thing, I'm probably going to buy it just because I need it. You know?
Yeah.
And it might not. I mean, the stuff I get is high quality, but if it's something that it's a specialty, I have to order it. But if it's a general, like, you know, bed sheet cover or whatever, I can order from him and I'd rather get them and not wait.
Yeah.
You know, but
well, and if he does a good job of building yeah. a relationship with you and yeah. becoming your guy or
and even then you might pay a little bit more for the convenience. That's all it is, convenience.
Yeah.
I mean, it's instead of having to ship that order, wait, I can just get it from him every week, you know?
Yeah. You gotta introduce me to that guy. Cause that
yeah.
that's also an interesting, like, again, when you think about entrepreneur yeah. stuff of like
mm-hmm.
that's the thing that you could do. Like people listening are saying, my very first guest, Kathy Jones, she opened a college planning and student mentoring franchise.
Mm-hmm.
So she helps kids who want to go to college kind of get their shit together
mm-hmm.
and set themselves up in the best place. And before that, she was working at a title company in the real estate industry and essentially said, I just want to be a business owner,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know what I want to do. And so then she started looking for franchises, and then she found this one that lined with her passions she already cared about, and opened it. And I guess, I think, like, I'm just sure again, our audience isn't so big that maybe this person isn't listening, but I know that there is somebody out there that's like, man, I want to be in the tattoo industry, but I suck at drawing. I have no eye for it. My hand is shaky, whatever it is, to say, hey, maybe there's this route. Like, maybe go be best friends with a bunch of artists, shop owners, find out what they need, what's hard to get, go buy them, put them in the back of your truck, clean it up.
Possibly.
And then sell them. And then you've got a business. Like, that's, again, you can just do anything in this world. You and I may not be able to do everything, but there are just infinite number of possibilities of what you can do.
And even crazy. More so now with the internet. There's no, I mean, and there's, it's hard to say because there's going to be people who do have real, you know, hardships and struggles and whatever, but it's just, it's crazy to me that there's still people complaining on stuff like that. Because even like Gary Vee says, if you like wrestling, make a podcast on that, build it up slowly, and who knows what can happen. And it's not going to be overnight. You're going to be Joe Rogan, but I mean, everything has to start from somewhere. And all the people that, at least that I've come across that are complaining, aren't doing anything about that complaining. They complain to complain, but don't work on anything.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's other people. I forgot who said it. Maybe it was Gary Vee or one of these, David Goggins or somebody was saying, like, you can complain, but if you're not happy with your life, you have to change it. There's nothing wrong with being lazy, watching movies, but then don't complain. You know, you're doing that. People are totally happy with being complacent and like your life, watching movies, not doing anything. But then at the same time, you can't complain. It's like voting.
Yeah.
If you don't vote, you can't complain. You know, you didn't put your, you know, 2 cents in or whatever.
Oh, but for sure. I love video games. I love any kind of game, really, board games, whatever, but I loved video games. And I was, when we moved to Houston, I didn't have a job. I just spent like 3 months playing Xbox.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then as I got into real estate, I spent more and more because I didn't have a desk that was chained to, and I was like, oh, well, hey, I sent some emails. I'm going to go play video games for a little bit. And then 6 hours would pass. And then that would happen 3 or 4 times a week.
Yeah.
And I just got to the point where I was like, I love this, but this is not the life that I want to
live.
And so I had to like wipe my Xbox and all that. And it's not because I think they're bad. It's simply because, again, I was looking at my life and I was like, I'm not happy.
Yeah. Yeah. You realize it. Yeah. And did something about it.
I got to make a change. And you know what I'm not doing? I'm not complaining about not playing video games. Yeah. Like, I can't, this sucks. Da, 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 da. It's like, no, I made a choice for a better. And I love that. I love this more.
Like, yeah, you just have to and it's good to be like self-aware like that. Cause I mean, I have an addictive personality. I mean, I used to drink a bunch. I don't drink anymore, but it came to the point where I realized, hey, if I did drink, it wouldn't be one or two, it'd be 12. And so it got to be way too much. So with anything though, if I buy records, I got to buy every color they have. I got to have, you know, shoes. I got to have every different model. Whatever. And so with that, with social media, people are like, I only follow my wife on social media on Instagram, just because I know I will be scrolling and looking at stories and getting involved. And it's like, who cares? Even with TikTok, I admit I'm on there. I try to post stuff. I don't get a lot of feedback. But even browsing, I get the same thing. I'll scroll and then like that little guy pops up. He's like, hey, you've been on here for an hour. I'm like, shoot, man. I could have, you know, I'm not mad about it, but you don't realize. And so to be aware to cut off your social media or have a limit or do something, like, it's hard now, man, because that's everything is wired to keep you. Doesn't matter, Twitter, Instagram, they're going to try to suck you in, and it's hard, man. Yeah, for sure. Right. Your attention.
I want people to buy houses for me. Yeah. I want them to listen to my podcast. You want people to come get tattoos.
Yeah.
These people, they make money by
that's
our
how they do
eyes
it.
On it. And game recognized game. And I, you know, that, what was it? It wasn't a mockumentary. It was like a docudrama, I guess, or whatever. But it was the one that it was about, they're all trying to get us, like all the social media.
Oh, social network. No, not social network. I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Man, Facebook
just,
and stuff.
Yeah, it just made a big thing.
Dilemma, social dilemma.
Yeah. And, you know, I think I had one of my aunts send me like a link to it. And she was like kind of making a point. And I was just like, yeah, of course. That's the game. Like, it's a free service. Of course, if it's free, they got to make money somehow. Like,
yeah, you become the product. If there's not a product, you are the product.
For sure.
And it's funny because I see that now people are complaining, like a tattooing, like iPads are now cutting edge. And that's like, that's what people use. 10 years ago, I would have to trace a piece of paper, copy it, see, make a revision, do it again. And so a lot of people were hating, oh, you're cheating, you're doing this. But that's how the times change. Like, yeah. If you really want to keep it real and do old school, you'd have to do what they did in the 30s, not wear gloves, reuse stuff. So times change. So like with social media, it wasn't around 15, 20 years ago. And before then, there wasn't a TV. It was just a rate. So stuff that you have to change with it. It's just, I think we're not aware enough to, at least most people, are to see what's going on with whether it's social media or whatever. Because I remember growing up without a cell phone.
Yeah.
I mean, there wasn't, and you were fine. You can meet up with people. You could you live your life. And now it's like, you have to have it, or you have that like phantom syndrome. Like, oh, I don't, I'm missing something. Yeah. It always
that'll
happens.
Mess you up.
Yeah.
Have you, you seem like a pretty well-read guy. Have you ever read any Neil Postman?
Mm-mm.
So he was a guy who writes about technology. Mm-hmm. And he wrote this book in 1985 called Amusing Ourselves to Death. And again, that was I'm 33. That was a couple years before I was born that he wrote and published the book.
Okay.
And it's about how TV is changing the way we live our lives and the way that we interact with one another. And he's just talking about plain old basic before cable television. Like, he's just talking about, and the stuff that he says in there is like prophetic. He could not know how real it was when it comes to, you know, the black mirrors that we carry around in our pockets. Well, man, I want to respect your time. I genuinely appreciate you taking some time out of your day. Is there anything that you'd like to share with anybody who's thinking about getting into the tattoo industry in the field, maybe following in your footsteps?
The only thing I could say is put in hard work. Tattooing is mostly has been a male dominated industry for years and years. And so I know a lot of people, doesn't matter if you're, you know, a minority, a woman, or whatever it is that's outside of that typical, you know, look of it. I would say if you really want to do it, to do it. It's not going to be easy, but if you put in the time and effort, you can do it. Especially now, there's many resources with YouTube and stuff. It's just, I don't know. I don't want to tell people to go tattoo at your house, but go about it the right way. But don't get discouraged because one or two people tells you no, or you can't do it. Because if that was the case, I wouldn't have done it, you know. And there's plenty of resources. And even now, people message me. I'm not going to give you 15 years worth of secrets and insight, but if you need help or have a question, I mean, I'll answer. Hey, you know, that's not really great, or check this out. Because most of the places where you get supplies, you have to be registered and it's legit. So your normal person won't be able to get that stuff anyways. But definitely one thing I would say is to not give up. And I mean, that's with any industry. It doesn't matter if you're in, you know, real estate or tattooing or nails or hair, like you're going to have a hard, you know, times, but you have to go through that to appreciate when you get to this certain level. And so, I mean, yeah, just put into time. I mean, quick little thing to compare it to school. You had to do your homework and then you prepare for the test. Now, I think a lot of people don't do any prep, planning, work outside of that. So read your books, you know, look at documentaries, buy magazines, you know, take seminars, go to these shops, talk to people, you know, ask, like you said earlier, ask them questions and get insight. Because if you just stay in your little bubble, you're not going to progress that way.
Yeah.
So the more work you put in, the more you'll get out of it.
That's awesome. Well, dude, thank you so much for having me here and for sharing a little about your story. I'll definitely encourage people to check out your work and
for sure, man.
Jump on the booking whenever they can.
Yeah.
This is going to come out after that booking window, but maybe I'll be sending an email tonight at 12:01 a.m. So,
sweet.
Yeah, man. Thank you so
much.
Yeah,
of course. Thanks for having me.
A huge thank you to James and to you for listening to this episode of Houston Made. If you enjoyed this conversation, please take a moment to find James on Instagram at James Samaniego to see some of his amazing work. And then head over to ShelterTattoo.com to find out about his next booking window for your next tattoo piece. The night after this recording, I stayed up past midnight so I could submit my tattoo request at 12:01 a.m. to hopefully get something done by James in the next few months. So yeah, be on the lookout on social media for that when it happens. As I said at the top of the show, it really is a privilege to get to have these conversations, and I am incredibly grateful for all of the new connections and friendships that I've developed through the show. As you listen, if you know of another Houston-based small business owner or entrepreneur that you think I should connect with, shoot me a message on Instagram at Rusty J. Gates or directly to the show at Houston Made Podcast, and we'll see what we can do about connecting and getting them on as a guest. As with all kinds of small businesses, every bit of support goes a long way. So take a moment to rate, review, and share Houston Made with the one person you know who might be interested. Houston Made is hosted by me, Rusty Gates, produced and edited in collaboration with Luke Bronner. Our artwork was designed by Stephanie Leal and Sarah Alwegfi in collaboration with Mac Ryan Creative. Credit for our theme music goes to Old Friends, New Friends. Houston Made is glad to be a part of the Milieu Media neighborhood of podcasts and storytellers. We are people who care deeply about human connection, and in our neighborhood, we find that connection by hearing and appreciating one another's stories and sharing our own. To find more shows made by amazing storytellers from all kinds of backgrounds, visit MilieuMedia.com.